You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world, and I want to thank you for joining us. We're going to go over a few things today. I guess one of the first thing I want to touch on is what's happening in the crypto space. We got some direction this week from the SEC, which is fantastic. Basically, they're giving some clarity as to what is going on, you know, as far as, you know, what is a security, what is not a security. This has been the big hanger that's been on the crypto industry. You know, it's been a problem because without that clarity, you get confusion. You know, then nothing starts working out. People are trying to figure things out, you know, during the last administration. With Gensler, what happened? A lot of people got fines. They had things tacked on their door. They got thrown in jail. Things transpired. It wasn't a good time for the crypto players trying to build up. It was very difficult. You know, we're going to be talking about this in 10 years and say, remember when? All right? Where now you have Paul Atkins in there, and he's working with the CFTC. They're working together. My oh my, what a surprise. They're looking to do things and do the right things. They're working in tandem, not against each other. That we saw for how long? How long did we see? We saw that for 4 years. Going against each other. Now you have more of this approach, this view that they have to go get things done for the right reasons. Because you cannot suppress an industry, right? You know, crypto is an asset class. You cannot debate that. You can't. It's not a pet rock, you know, as Jamie Dimon used to say. It is not. It is the future of finance, and you're going to have TradFi and DeFi converge into something beautiful. You're going to have a lot of things happening there. So, again, you have major banks that are getting in deep within the stablecoin environment because they realize, hey, this is stable. I can move things around with my customers. The fees are like almost nothing, so I can go charge them a little bit, and they'll still make money even if they lower the fees on their customers. You know, and Swift, they're injecting blockchain into what they're doing, and you have a lot of other institutions that are doing the same. You know, you have PayPal. They have a stable coin now, and they built it on, I believe, on Ethereum, and they built it on Solana. You know, just them building it on with the ERC-20 standard, okay, is a big thing because it gets the massive distribution. That's why any blockchain, you won't see too many of them that have a really, really strong protocol, and they had the courage to go in and integrate ERC-20 into it. That takes a lot of courage because, you know, a number of things can go sideways. So in doing that, you kind of open up that ecosystem. And this is what happened with Piku Novus. This is what's happening now. Okay, and in the next couple of weeks, from what I understand, that is also going to be integrated in there, and it's going to be something great. Because, you know, this purpose-built blockchain is geared towards institutions. So we're going to see a lot of things going on there. But with what Paul Atkins was saying about what's going on in the crypto space, I want to actually play that audio so you can hear it from his own mouth what they're doing in the crypto space to make this better. Because you have, and I'm going to say this now before I play that clip, you have the equity markets. That's about $130, $140, maybe $150 trillion arena. Okay, you got the bond markets, the debt markets. That is probably about $150, $160, maybe $170. And they, you know, from what people think, that over the next few years, that can go to $190 trillion. Okay, and those are crazy numbers, if that's the way it is. But you want a crazier number? The derivative markets. Oof. $600 trillion plus. They're looking for that to go to a quadrillion if it's not there already. So think about those numbers. And you're going to tell me, with everything that's going on, I'm not even just talking about Bitcoin. I'm just talking about the overall crypto space and what the financial blockchain infrastructure that's coming in, that's here, that's being expanded and everything else, what's happening there. You think that for a second that the crypto market can't be $50 trillion, $100 trillion? Why not? It's going to get there. It's going to get there, and this is going to be a pivotal year. But I want to take this time. I want to play Paul Atkins, and I'm going to come back to you right after he's done.
Yesterday was a real break with the past, a formal break. The commission came out for the first time with an interpretative release that really sets a line between what are commodities in the digital asset space and what are securities. And the significance also about this particular release that we did is that the CFTC participated with us in it. And so they had some guidance that's included in that release, along with our interpretation. So that's very good. We are outlining four types of assets that are not securities, and those are digital commodities, digital tools, digital collectibles, and stable coins. And stable coins per the Genius Act that was enacted last year. We are now giving clarity from the SEC's perspective as to what are and are not securities.
All right, you heard it from the man himself. You know, they defined, you know, what is a security and what is not, and what lies with the CFTC and what lies with the SEC. And it's going to be pretty defined, and this is a good thing for the general crypto world. I think it's going to open up a lot of opportunities, a lot of doors, especially for the financial blockchain infrastructure companies that are building out purpose-built infrastructure, you know, for the financial industry, all right? Because at the end of the day, you know, if you're building out financial products and you have the infrastructure that's supporting it, and you're able to go and involve institutions, well, it's a win. It's a win. You have a few groups that are doing it out there. Okay, you have Anchorage that's doing it. You have Figure that's doing it. You have a few others. Okay, Pico Novus itself is a purpose-built chain that is built for financial products and infrastructure, and that's fantastic. With the upgrade that's going to be going on, that should be live in the next couple of weeks. It took a lot of courage to do it, but it's actually going to happen because you have a fantastic protocol that is now going to integrate ERC-20 for the purpose of getting that expanded reach across a massive ecosystem. And that ERC-20 integration is important, right? You know, so now you have things that are defined within the crypto space, and we're going to talk more about this on future shows. But I want to go over into the oil markets right now, because you see a lot of things going on. Look, there's a war going on there. Whether it's right or wrong, I can't say. Honestly, do I think it's a short-term disruption? I think that the price of oil being where it's at, it's a matter of derivatives pushing it. You know, especially in the United States, you know, it's not like we have no oil, but gas prices go up. But why? Because you have derivatives that are going up, pushing the price of oil up. We have oil. We're the biggest producer of oil in the world. If you look at, If you look at the charts, you'll see it. Okay, and at the end of the day, you know, what are we getting out of that strait? We're probably getting 2%. You know, where you have Asia and those countries that are actually getting, you know, the lion's share of that oil coming through there. But as you see, this impacts across the board. I think that once things settle, and hopefully they settle soon, I think you're going to see oil back down, maybe 60, okay, in that range, because it being up here doesn't make any sense. And, you know, with Iran trying to make it a point saying, we're going to bring oil to 200 and disrupt your entire financial ecosystem. That disruption, you know, if you know, the other countries, you know, get involved, they can shut it down pretty quick. For Russia, you know, this is a positive thing for them. It's not a good thing for Ukraine. It's a positive thing for them because right now they're flowing. That tap has been shut off for them for a long time, but they've been selling, you know, cheap. Now they're selling it at market prices, and they're making money. What do you think's going to happen? They're going to have the resources, and they're going to go and probably pounce on Ukraine some more. Okay, Zelensky should have, you know, taken a deal when he had the opportunity to. Where now, I think that, I don't want to think too much about it. We'll see what's going to happen there. All right, but I want to bring on some audio from John Gray of Blackstone. He has some insight. He had some interesting insight on oil, kind of along the lines of what I believe in. But I want to play that because we're trying to bring, you know, more interesting, actually not more, but some more, right? Some more interesting things to the show for the betterment of our listeners and our viewers. So hang on. I want to play, let me play this audio so you can get some insight from the man himself, John Gray from Blackstone.
If you look at the price of oil in a given day, I guess yesterday moved $30. I think, again, once the conflict settles, I think oil prices move back down. And what will matter more then is, hey, companies' earnings are growing strong. Inflation is heading down. The Fed is likely to cut rates. And we should see a pickup in transaction activity. Now, I think the area that will be tougher is those areas perceived as being more vulnerable to disruption. That'll be more challenging. But we have a couple businesses we took public at the end of last year, Medline and Hospital Supplies, Legence and Energy Management. These stocks are up, you know, 50, 80% because they continue to grow and the market's looking for sort of terra firma, companies they feel good about longer term. And I think that desire for those kind of businesses and those businesses that benefit from AI will continue. So I view this more of as a pause as opposed to something that's longer in nature.
Just as I said, he has, you know, his insight matters. You know, he's in the deep end of the pool, you know, so I agree with what he's saying. This is going to be short-lived. We just have to go through the pain now. Unfortunate. But we'll see the why, I guess, later. Another thing, artificial intelligence, that's been a big thing, big buzzword. Not so much buzzword, but more of a change, an evolution of sorts. You're going to see a lot of this happening. And I think, you know, you have a lot of software companies that are getting disrupted, but you know what? They would have been disrupted anyway. It's just happening quicker because of AI. You know, the reality is that software developers, they're going to have to change. They're going to have to adhere to what's happening because at the end of the day, if you aren't evolving, then you're dying out. And when you have artificial intelligence that is not just made, it's like they didn't just create ChatGPT or Anthropic didn't do their thing, or or Google didn't do their thing, and they're sitting there saying, okay, well, we did this, we'll just let it be. Mm-mm. These guys are in the kitchen day in and day out making it better, better, better. Look, even Google right now with their Gemini, they're able to make audio and everything else. I got a message on that. And that's crazy because you can go make your own song, all right? And albeit short, but they can do bigger ones too, I guess. You have platforms out there that are creating music. I've seen them, you know, take an existing song and make it into a different genre. You have an evolution, and it's going to go across all industries. I think your old software companies are going to be like, you know, way back when IBM was the king of the hill, and then all of a sudden, you know, they had their big servers, which were huge tape stuff way back when. But you know, as that company evolved, they evolved too. They had to or die, you know. So when you have in technology, you don't want to be the Blockbuster or the Woolworth in technology. You don't want to be the Kmart, you know. And if you understand what happened with those companies, then you really understand what I'm talking about. You know, if you are, you have to evolve, and this has to do with any company. All right, if you're in entertainment, evolve. You know, look at what they're doing with Val Kilmer. He passed away. He made a movie 5 years before he passed away. He couldn't finish it because he couldn't speak properly. So they couldn't finish the movie. The movie just stood on the shelf. Well, they're coming out with the movie, and he's in it. And they're using AI to put him in the movie. That goes to what I was saying on another show, that, you know, artificial intelligence is going to change everything in Hollywood. Oof. Hollywood, they have to evolve or they will die out. You know, I guess the industry that's going to really be amplified are the writers. Oh, the Writers Guild, they're going to be on fire. But as actors, man, if you guys go out there as an actor, and you go and you make yourself into a brand and license your image and your voice and your mannerisms and everything to movie development companies that are going to be using AI to make movies. Okay, doing that, you evolve as well. You know, you probably won't get as many acting gigs as you want to get. You know, I think that the old guard with Hollywood, with SAG and all that other stuff, they're going to bark, they're going to get angry, they're going to sue, they're going to do this and do that and do this, as opposed to saying, hey, we have to evolve with this for the betterment of our community. And it is the betterment. Okay, this is the same thing that was done. Look at history. Look at history when you had silent films. Okay, you had silent films, and what happened? You had one brave company, one brave brother in a company called Warner Brothers that went and said, wait a second, we could put sound in here. And they went down that road. And the rest is history, isn't it? Same thing's going to happen here. This is going to be a history-defining event that we're living in. And I'm telling you, it's going to start with that one movie that's coming out with Val Kilmer, and it's going to continue to go on. And this is the beginning of the future of movie making and entertainment, and it's going to be really interesting. All right, anyway, I want to thank you guys for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back with you with another episode of Money Never Sleeps. Until then, I want you guys to have a fantastic trading day. Thank you.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Belathkath and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.